the redheaded tax goddess, Shauna. Hi, everyone. This podcast exists to educate, entertain, and inspire entrepreneurs, business owners, and all the other crazy, fantastic, self-employed people out there. Today is June 26th, and I am your goddess, Shauna, and joining you live from sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. So welcome to Tax Goddess Live and our fireside chats. And Sean, are you ready to do this?
Oh, yeah. Let's make it happen.
Woohoo! Sean is one of our experts in wealth management, and we are super, super excited to have him with us here today. He's got all these awesome little tips and tricks and nuggets of knowledge that you absolutely have to have. So make sure you stick with us today, listen, and gather all of this amazing knowledge. So what is, Sean, what is the one most important thing that our audience is going to get out of today's broadcast?
I'd say the one thing is helping people to be able to hold on to their money.
That's a pretty important thing, holding on to their money. What is one of the things that you see people lose their money on, like top number one culprit?
So the way that we met, of course, is through proper tax planning, that the IRS is the number one creditor, that if you don't structure your assets properly, we'll be more than happy to try to take that from you.
And you're talking to a subject near and dear to my heart. So today's broadcast is going to be awesome. I can already tell this. I love it. All right. So what, give us this title. You gave me this awesome title that I had never actually heard.
The structured alpha concept.
Yeah. Tell us about that. What does structured alpha mean?
Structured alpha it's an industry term. Essentially, it means that normally risk and reward are correlated. So if you make an investment, if it's high risk, you're hoping for a high return. If it's low risk, you're not going to get much return. And in a low interest rate environment where everybody's getting pushed up the yield curve, which means that people have to take bigger risks in order to get the same or less return as they used to 5, 10, 20 years ago. One way that we can combat that is by structuring where those investments are held so that there's less frictions or transaction costs from taxes. So they're not taking on any more risks. They just have to put more work into the structure in order to get more return.
Okay, and this is why we have experts. I can't wait to get all the definitions of pretty much everything you just said, but I am looking forward to it. Rock on, Sean. Okay, so give us a statistic that's going to blow our listeners' minds today.
So what I would encourage everyone to do is go to JP Morgan has a website called The Guide to the Markets, and it's the, I believe, third or fourth slide that shows where we've been with the S&P 500 since, I'll say, 1997. And you can see how much we've gained and then how much we've lost and gained and lost. And it's becoming not a pretty picture that basically we're walking in circles, that everything that we gain over 7 years, we seem to lose and then get right back to where we started.
Okay, so, and we will put a copy, I'm looking at a copy of this diagram, and yeah, it's kind of scary looking, so we will put a copy of this in with the show notes today, so, yeah, ooh, okay, a little bit scary. Okay, so, Sean, before we dive into all of the business stuff, we always like to get to know you a little bit on the personal end, so tell us about your life growing up.
Let's see, both my parents came from the area, didn't have a lot of money, were fortunate enough, both of them, to get into the University of Pennsylvania, and they stayed in the area. I'm based out of the Philadelphia area, and fortunately worked in the healthcare industry. So provided a lot of stability in that sense growing up, that they were finally kind of able to make it to that next rung.
Cool. Very cool. And so being in Philadelphia, so what is your, okay, for people not from Philly, what is the one thing, like you have 15 minutes in Philly, what do you need to do when you get there?
Oh, geez, the tourist questions. This is, you could live in New York and you never see the Statue of Liberty. And for us, it's the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. Everybody's going to say, get a cheesesteak, get a hoagie at Wawa.
At Wawa, I was about to say, so where's the best? It's Wawa? Is it W-A-W-A?
That's a good spot, yeah. I would start there, yeah.
Okay, all right, love it. And now I'm going to ask about this because you mentioned food, right? You said your hobbies, I'm seeing dogs, travel, and cooking. Those are three pretty broad, and travel, any of you guys that know me, totally about the travel. So tell us about dogs and travel and cooking.
Okay, so I feel like these are almost cliched answers, but crazy about dogs, huge dog lover. Travel, I love to travel abroad, broaden my horizons, do things that other people haven't done. And cooking, you know, it's just fun to be able to cook for myself and, you know, to practice that as a skill. I also am trying to stick with the ketosis diet, so that has some kind of unique requirements, and it ends up just being a lot easier to cook for myself than to even go out or do takeout, I suppose.
Okay, so now I want to know, what is your favorite meal? What do you cook for your favorite thing?
You know what? Sometimes just making a steak is one of the easiest, most straightforward, and you know, most delicious go-tos.
Love it. Okay, and then of course I have to ask, travel. What is your number one place on the planet that you've been to so far?
Number one place so far has been Iceland. Iceland is just fantastic to see the beauty and the nature, and it's like no other place on Earth. I often describe it's like being on another planet.
Dig it. Okay. So Iceland, peeps, Iceland. We gotta go to Iceland. Okay. Last personal question. What is the book that you have gifted the most?
So that's the one that I gave to you as well, which is the Everything Bubble. It's like $10 on Amazon, and it gets in. It's a corollary to that chart that you're going to put out there. It gets into that monetary policy is the driver of economic activity in the world, and it creates this feedback loop that people should be very aware of as far as the causes of the business cycle, the booms and busts that we see.
And that's something that we see across multiple industries, is this cycle. You know, one of our big areas of practice is real estate. And so here in Arizona, you see every 8 to 10 years, up, down, up, down, up, down. It's a consistent. So you're saying we're seeing it in markets, all sorts of markets all over the planet.
It's the supply of money and credit. And what do all those things have in common? Well, they're all using money to facilitate those transactions. And as the supply of money and credit is expanded, you see that's what causes these waves.
I don't know if I like waves or don't like waves, but you're going to explain to us whether we like waves or don't like waves. And there you go.
It's all about where you're positioned. So my other favorite book is Machiavelli's The Prince. Talks about virtue and fortune. So you can't control the floods, but you can prepare for them.
Okay. I like it. Oh, this is going to be a great podcast today. Okay. All right. Let's see. So what is the worst business decision that you have ever made, and what lessons did you learn from?
So I hate to say it, but trusting other people to follow through on core business requirements. So I would say that the hard-learned lesson is you always want to at least have your backups and be prepared for if somebody can't or won't follow through on what they say they're going to do. And so recovering from, you know, promises made and not delivered is probably one of the more challenging aspects of entrepreneurship.
And so what do you do? Because this is a fascinating subject, one of my favorite subjects. What do you do now? Obviously, you had something happen and there were lessons learned out of that. So what do you do now to make sure that when you delegate something, it actually gets done?
I would say just do a lot of research, really look into what the actual meat and potatoes, soup to nuts requirements are to get done something that's going to be done, as opposed to just the surface level of somebody saying, I'll take care of it. Find out how they're going to take care of it. Do the research.
I love it. And I love that I'll take care of it is a very scary phrase. I agree with you. One of my little two cents on the matter. Have you ever heard of something called a feedback loop?
Yeah, of course. Yep.
So that's one of the ways that we try and make sure that that's happening is, okay, you know, Sean, you've told me you've asked me to do something. I say, great, no problem. I'll take care of it. And you say, great, explain it to me. Mm-hmm. that tells you right there that maybe you want that little bit of research you're talking about. So,
right. Yeah, just peek under the hood, learn how things really work. You know, the actual practice and not just the theory.
And there we go. Love it. Love it, love it. Okay, so you are this amazing rock star person. You seem to know everybody everywhere. So what strategies, besides constant research, because that's come up three or four times here, what strategies do you employ to enable you to achieve your successes so far?
So then the other part of that is you want to cast as wide a net as possible to allow those, to catch those opportunities. So again, you have the virtue and the fortune. Virtue is the preparedness and doing the research. The fortune you're not really in control of, but you could just create the environment to allow as many chance encounters or things that you don't know to occur. So go out and, you know, any odd activity that somebody's invited you to that you never thought you'd do in a million years, take them up on it, see where it leads. You know, that you don't know what you don't know, and anything you can do to really maximize those chance encounters is you never know what's going to come from it, and that's kind of the whole point. So just pursue everything that, you know, comes your way, and, you know, it's nothing you ever could have planned for that things will arrive from.
Okay, so now, I mean, it's just begging. This question is just begging in my brain, Sean. So what has been the most interesting random thing that you followed that has led you to something amazing? Tell us that story.
Oh, okay, so this is almost kind of like my origin story.
Wait, are you a Superman? Are you a superhero? Sean, I knew it internally.
Me and Batman in the same room.
Just saying.
But I participated in a like a political action group in high school that then when I went to college for engineering was asked to give a speech or presentation about. The professor who had asked me to give that speech didn't realize that I had just begun attending as a freshman at this university. And then because of the film crew that was filming that lecture presentation, I was offered a position with a dot-com company, which is how I got involved in entrepreneurship and finance, which is in a more elaborate way how I wound up here today. So just, I never could have planned doing that in high school that it would lead to this outcome. So that's a great example of all these tangents upon tangents upon tangents of chance outcomes that if you don't put yourself out there and mix it up and do something, you never know what could happen, and it's not anything you could have planned for in advance.
I love it. So take risks, talk to everybody, and go figure it out. The world will throw it right at you.
Exactly. Yep.
Love it. Oh, I'm sure y'all can see. I've got this massive smile on my face. This is why I love our superhero, Sean. This is awesome. All right. Okay. So you've given us some awesome background, a little bit of get to know you. So are you ready for some of the business stuff?
Oh, lay it on me.
Lay it on you. Love it. Okay, so remember, everybody, we are here to educate, entertain, inspire. So we are super excited to hear about some of your details in that super scary chart. I know you guys haven't seen it yet, but super scary chart. So how did you become an expert? So you talked about the dot-com and the finance and the entrepreneurship. And so how did you become the expert that you are now? Like, what was your background to get from there to here?
So some of it is required education that you go through in the process, but then you have to be passionate and genuinely interested in researching these things for yourselves. So having an independent eye and independent thought for this. I'm reminded of Ray Dalio, who just wrote Principles not too long ago. He has a very short comment that when you're running an investment firm, you're by definition betting against the market. You're trying to figure out, well, do I really know something that everybody else doesn't know, and therefore I'm going to profit from this? Or maybe consensus is correct and I'm wrong, and what happens then? And so what can you do to do as much investigation, education, knowledge gathering as possible to find out, yes, I really am right about this, and it's the world that hasn't caught up, and not vice versa. So it's just, it's that diligent research and not following the herd and not being a very skeptical of received wisdom. That if, you know, an idea is out there, check to make sure that it's really true and make sure that you understand whether it's true or not, and not just accept it as, you know, because everybody else says it.
I love it. And I'm hearing snoops and Facebook fake articles, and I'm hearing all of this stuff. So what is one of your favorite? So you hear a piece of news, you hear a piece of data. Where do you go to research that topic? And these are just top tips, not like absolutely go do this. These are top tips.
So again, and I hate to ride on somebody's coattails too much, but this just reminds me a lot again of Ray Dalio wrote in Principles. He It's the part he dismisses in his book where he's like, okay, I've got this whole history of my life, and that's the boring part. I want to get to more of the principles of the book. But his life is the more interesting part. And I would say do as he did, not what he did, but with the same concept behind it, which is before he ever got into investments in stocks or bonds or all the things that we normally see, he began on the commodities desk, which is kind of a very neglected desk that people aren't drawn to. It's not very glamorous. But it is the fundamental root of how all other market activity is built up. And because of the skills that he learned there of how to do fundamental analysis, it carried over into everything else that he did. So it's a matter of beginning at those first principles as opposed to, you know, the general consensus that you see now.
Well, and what I'm taking, let me try and see if I understand your concept here, because really what I'm taking from that is you know, what you see in the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and some of these magazines, some of the articles, whatever, these can be really, really, really high level, top level concepts. But if you don't understand, for example, supply and demand, basic concepts, you can basically get swindled into believing anything. Am I understanding right?
Yeah, that's a great example. Is a lot of the pop culture financial news that you hear, people who are watching the, you know, the financial news networks or just what you see, in Money Magazine or what have you. You know, remember that they have a goal that they need flashy headlines because they're trying to sell ads and they're trying to sell magazines and they have their prerogative as well. And they don't have the time to do the deep dive, the research. They're just, you know, they have deadlines and they have to put together an article in a matter of hours or days. And they're, you know, if it's in the news now and they got to get it out tomorrow and then they're on to their next thing. So a lot of that tends to be an echo chamber. It's very much, they're just repeating what everybody else is saying and not looking too hard at, again, peeking under the hood and seeing how they really got to that point.
And there you go. And so there's, I'm loving this conversation because there's two pieces that are really jumping to my mind here. You know, one of the things that you were mentioning in our, you know, pre-discussion for today's fireside chat was about looking for a mentor, right? And potentially even, you know, from my standpoint, I'm always looking for mastermind groups, right? Surrounding myself with people smarter than myself to be able to teach and educate, but of course, still read, still go double check what they're telling me. So, you know, you talked about keeping a wise counsel, but always listening to yourself. So when you hear somebody, a mentor or one of these public knowledge bases or whatever, and they say something, at least for me, I've always found if I get all hyped up about it, something's not quite right. I need to go do a little more research. What reaction do you have when it triggers your brain to go, you know, I'm going to go figure that out?
I mean, I think that's exactly it. Does that make sense? And I wonder how that works. It's a matter of curiosity that if somebody says, you know, this is a good idea or you should do this, well, why? How does that work? Where does it lead? Yeah, so just being insatiably curious and persistent in trying to figure out why things work the way they do goes a long way.
Be a five-year-old. Why? Over and over. I love it. What does your typical day look like?
So I am not a morning person, and yet I have built this routine where I have to be up at about 5 in the morning, wake up. I have a basement gym, exercise, meditate, because stress and emotional exercise is just as much as the physical. Then, you know, shower, get dressed, ready for the day, and usually by about 9 o'clock, the phone calls start and, you know, market gets going about 9:30 and take care of that. And then I'm, you know, whatever is in my agenda. So I have a lot of systems in place to keep, I would lose my head if it wasn't scheduled and written down somewhere. So I have a lot in place to just document. I'm basically looking at my agenda and saying, oh, this is what I'm doing today. It's a surprise to me, even though I'm the one that put it in the calendar. And then it's just pretty much nonstop until I'm, you know, home or done for the day around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and then cooking dinner for myself, making sure, you know, the dog goes for a walk, and wash, rinse, repeat.
And there you go. I love it. And they say, you know, somewhere again in the background, you had mentioned Tim Ferriss. When you read some of these books on some of these super successful people, they talk about it's patterns. an agenda and you do the same thing every single day. They talked about even down to your clothes. You wear the same thing every single day, so you don't have what Steve Jobs used to wear, the black turtleneck.
The t-shirt and jeans uniform. I like to have a little more flair than get away with that in Silicon Valley. But Daniel Kahneman has Thinking Fast and Slow. I mean, there's just some things that you do not want to, Kurt Vonnegut has a line of, you want to put a little bit of forethought up front so that when you don't have that mental capacity there, that it's already done for you.
And, you know, that particular phrase is actually drawing my mind to investing and to the markets, because you put a little bit of forethought and let the systems, the compounding. I mean, Warren Buffett just did a big thing about compounding and talking about compounding. So talk to us a little bit. So, okay, now we know the basics. Let's get into today's topic. I'm super, super excited because that chart is really, really, really kind of scary. But let's dig into it, because this is the meat of it for me. So, you know, I hear so many times, well, I don't need an advisor. I don't need anyone else to look at my money. I know how to handle my own stuff, right? And of course, I'm looking at it. I'm a tax advisor, right? I'm a tax professional. I'm looking at it going, honey, if you could handle your own stuff, you wouldn't even be talking to me in the first place, right? You'd have millions. You wouldn't need me or someone like you. You know, there you go. So in your particular arena here, in this financial wealth management, right, what is it that you wish that entrepreneurs and business owners knew?
So there's two points to that question. I want to make sure I approach that well.
Yes. So
the one is, why can't I just do it myself? And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, right, they wear all the hats. And they want to make sure that things are, or, you know, that where their money is best spent, let's say. There also is a trend that's been out for the past several years of everybody being very fee conscious and assuming that not a lot of work has, requires that fee or that it can be automated. And it's not true. Again, that's kind of part of that fashionable advice or fad advice that tends to go around. The other side of that I see all the time with business owners, entrepreneurs is, you know, you have your passion, you have your core competency, whatever it is that you started that business to do is what you're focused on. It wasn't to be an accountant or a tax advisor or any of these other things that you need. You mentioned Tim Ferriss, the idea of automate, delegate, or eliminate. Well, delegate the things that aren't your core competency. Stick to the things that, maybe you could do it. Maybe you could even do it well, but it's not the best thing that you do. If you stick with the best thing that you do and then surround yourself with the people who can do for you what they are the best at, that's the nature of specialization. I mean, that's what has created most of the prosperity in the world, is the idea of we are all going to specialize in what we do and then trade that with each other instead of trying to be all things to all people.
And all of a sudden I'm picturing farmers and cavemen, and they're all trying to, you know, work out, okay, you go hunt and kill things and I'll grow some berries and we'll work it out. And there's the beginning of the economy. That's
right,
the baseline.
Trying to be entirely self-sufficient, you won't be able to do as much as if you can just coordinate with other people who are domain experts. Yep.
And so this is always a question that comes up for me. How do you know if the person that you're talking to is an expert in whatever field?
Exactly. That's the question. And it is a matter of research. Ask a lot of questions. It's the same story all over if you have a genuine interest in, do your due diligence, ask a lot of different people. And if everybody's saying the same thing, you know, maybe they don't know it all, or maybe they're just, you know, following the same herd with everybody else. If somebody really has a unique offering or something you do different than everybody else, that's probably where you're going to find your star.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask a tough question. So what is the best question that you have ever been asked that you feel proves that you are an expert at what you do? I almost asked the tough questions on this show. There we go.
It's tough. I mean, so where I think this comes into is, right, you get people who try to test you to see, you know, testing to really check your knowledge. That's not just at a surface level. Sometimes people think they're being very clever, that they ask some detailed question or something that's like a gotcha question or a trick question. I think the deepest thing is the things that you don't know that you don't know.
Okay.
So I would begin with what your needs actually are as a question, and then see what kind of responses that you get and how they answer it. So, I guess the old trick of the open-ended question as opposed to a closed-end question, let people elaborate and explain their process and their thought pattern. And from that, you're really going to get an insight as opposed to, you're getting the why answer instead of the what answer.
I love it. I love it. Well, and it speaks to the fact that not every professional is the right fit for every client either, right? Because, one person might be super aggressive and one person might be super conservative. And depending on where you are as a client on that scale, you want to find somebody who's going to match you
You
and
want
what
to
you're
make sure
looking
the
for.
personalities match. Yeah, that's a great example of the anti case. The worst kind of client for me is a person who they just want me to implement their idea. So I'm getting all of the responsibility and providing none of the input. That won't work.
Doesn't
It
help.
has to be collaborative. They have to come to me with a need, and then we can solve the problem.
And there we go. Okay, so you brought it up, the need. I love the need. What is, I mean, of course, things change over time. What is one of the biggest needs that you're hearing right now?
So the dual needs, as we began, is protection from tax exposure, and then for every business owner, the other creditor after the IRS is usually a former business partner, a former employee, maybe a customer, and making sure that your assets are protected from those kinds of frivolous lawsuits or people who are just maybe jealous. I mean, what's a joke about? Well, I forget the name of the fellow, but he was a bank robber. He said, "Well, why do you rob banks?" And his answer was, "Well, that's where they keep the money." It's a very glib answer. That's the thing is, once people see that success, you develop a lot of friendships along the way, but then you also can attract enemies that people see you as a target, and so you want to protect yourself early on. From that, assuming you're going to be successful later, that you are sheltered from people who are envious or jealous or just bitter.
And there we go. So it sounds, I mean, I heard the term lawsuit come out there. And so for me, at least every time I hear law anything, that's where one of your other experts comes in is the attorneys and the structuring. And I know, for example, you deal with some really detailed, defined like retirement plans and some of these things to be able to help protect assets.
Absolutely. So a lot of the more advanced programs that we have in place for shielding against tax exposure are often dual benefit in that they are then held by other entities or otherwise separate from personal estate and even the their primary business.
Got it. Got it. Got it. And this is why you need, you don't know what you don't know. If you're thinking, yeah, I just need an IRA account. Well, maybe not if you've got an ex-business partner that's going to try and come after it or something.
Right. So the thing about cookie cutter advice is I don't know too many cookie cutter people. So who is that being applied to?
Very true. Very true. Love it. Love it. Okay. So what do you feel is missing for a lot of the entrepreneurs and business owners out there from your industry? Like what do you feel like is the advice that is being lost or not coming across?
In my own industry itself, as far as other people working in this space.
Correct. Yeah.
Again, I would say there's a huge danger in groupthink and everybody doing the same thing as everybody else, because that will synchronize and magnify risk of what everybody else is doing.
That's true.
So, I mean, the really classic example that fortunately we've all experienced in our lifetimes is the housing crisis. People would say, safe as houses, nobody's going to foreclose on their house. Nobody would risk that.
And to look at what just happened. Yeah.
So those black swan events often happen because everybody is synced up doing the same thing as everybody else. And so the thing the people think that they're doing to reduce risk or to diversify against risk is actually creating its own kind of risk event that has to be guarded against.
Gracious. Okay, I'm so glad that there's people out there like you who look and track. And now you used a term, black swan. So define that for me.
So that's from Nassim Taleb's book. The story of it is, as far as knowledge, all swans are white. It's like a logic statement until European explorers went to Australia and they found swans that were black. So it's something they didn't know existed until they actually experienced it. And so it's become an analogy for like the housing crisis or these other events that people don't, it's a risk that nobody had foreseen before.
And there we go. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. If I didn't know where that came from, I have an odd feeling some of our listeners not. Thank you. What is your favorite question that you get asked that you feel like actually helps people?
Favorite question. That's always, I'm trying to think of something not as silly.
Oh, silly was good. Whatever it was made you laugh. If it,
I mean, you know, it's so cliche of, you know, help, I'm making too much money. You know, that's not a good problem to have. The number of problems that people have never really gets reduced. You just get different problems. And so there's some problems are better to have than others, but you always have problems and there's always problems to solve. It's the burden of success, so to speak. So I suppose that's my favorite question to get is, okay, now we're going from one type of problem of how do I make enough money to now I have enough money, what do I do with it? Or how do I make sure that I can use it for what I need to use it for and not risk that it gets used for other purposes?
And this is where, you know, my brain is going to your cookie cutter comment, right? You can't just say, okay, great, now I have a bunch of money, so I'm going to do this with it because this is what this article, or even worse, my next door neighbor who has a lot of money does this with their money. So how do you, Sean, go about helping somebody understand their options?
So it's consultative. It's very much a, you know, what they call the undressing. It's I need to know where all the skeletons are kept. I need to know everything that's going on. If you let me in completely, then I can craft a plan and some solutions that will help you address those needs and maybe even recognize needs that you didn't realize that you have yet.
Ooh. And of course, my brain wants to know one of the skeletons, one of the worst skeletons that has ever popped out of the closet. I don't even know if that's something you can discuss or not.
Yeah, that probably is better to remain.
It's going to remain a hidden skeleton. I love it. Okay, love it, love it. Well, Sean, you have given us so much knowledge here today, and the major word that I kept hearing over and over and over was research, 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 ask questions, research some more. But I want to make sure, is there anything else that you feel like our listening audience, our entrepreneurs, our business owners need to know?
Well, so it all begins with being an entrepreneur. Again, going back to Tim Ferriss, once you're in control of your organization and you are managing those financials, you're not at the behest of other people. If you're making W-2 income, I understand that there's a lot of comfort in having company benefits, but until you can take charge of your own finances, you will never really be free to do all the things that you want to do. Your options are much more limited as long as you continue to work for somebody else. There is that famous article going around, people can Google it, of the difference between the bottom half of 1%ers and the top half of 1%ers is all about growing their equity position. That the bottom half of 1%ers are still making a lot of money, and maybe it's the top lawyers, the top doctors, the best professionals in the country, but everybody in the top half of 1% are all the people who started a Google, a Facebook, a Tesla. They're the ones who grew that capital. And so if you want to achieve that level of success, it really begins with having your own business.
Cheers! I could not concur more. Not only apparently is that the best from a finance angle, that's absolutely the best from a tax angle. We know that there's massive changes that just got implemented for 2018 that are completely changing the tax landscape. I have no doubt that's going to start going, filtering, changing everything in every other industry as well. Are you seeing any major changes that you, I mean, you're not in, or is there anything hitting on the finance side right away with those new tax law changes that you can think about?
Okay, well, this is quite specific. So for example, because of a tax law that was changed in 1996, the situation in Puerto Rico got very dire because they weren't able to take advantage of certain tax benefits. A lot of pharmaceuticals were based out of Puerto Rico that left because of the regulatory changes. They had to make up that taxation shortfall by issuing bonds, which then went bad, and they've been in kind of a financial crisis ever since. As a result of that, to attract capital back, they made very lax tax laws. I believe all dividends and long-term capital gains were taxed at zero, and the corporate tax rate was 4%. And because it's a territory of the United States, and because of rules against double taxation, as a United States citizen, where normally you're taxed on all income, both foreign and domestic, but if you are a resident of Puerto Rico, then you pay Puerto Rican income tax, you don't pay federal income tax. So, as a United States citizen, that is a unique opportunity or circumstance to be in. So, a lot of people were moving these businesses to Puerto Rico in order to, so that instead of paying 40% in taxes stateside, they were paying 4% in Puerto Rico. But the tax reform that just went through, and this is the danger, is they passed that GILTI provision, GILTI. That basically has it back somewhere around 28%. Again, I'm sure you have more of the details, or people can find it online. So that's one of the major consequences of that tax reform that went through, and something that you don't hear about in the news as often.
Which is very true. Typically, the media likes to either scare you completely or, bring you the happy cat in the tree, God saved kind of story, not some of these high detail. Earlier, you were talking about no one does the research to bring the high detailed arguments to the public, basically. So great.
Exactly. I mean, it's that age-old thing they say about read the prospectus, see what's actually in there, take a look under the hood, find out what's going on, make sure you know the mechanics. It doesn't mean that you have to be the expert and know all the details, but you want to know enough to actually be comfortable and not just have that rough overview, because it just may not be a good fit for you, or it might be, but you won't know until you actually, do the work and have that conversation.
And there we go. And this has been way too much fun, Sean. I think I could talk to you for hours. So, now here with Fireside Chat, we know all about your business, your passion, your stories. I want to make sure that we get the word out about you and about your knowledge. Guys, if you're listening, you could hear research, 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 research. I love Sean, but this man sends me like three articles a day, and I'm like, oh, I promise I'll get there. I promise I'll read it. So this man is brilliant. So Sean, how can our listeners find you?
Best thing would be to go to my website, tenhauser.financial, and book an appointment. I'm also available via email or a phone. The most important thing is just to begin that conversation so that we can learn more about each other and see if I can help you.
Perfect. And Tannhauser, let me make sure I got this spelled right. TannHauser.financial.
That's it.
Okay, fantastic. Or I'm sure they could just search Sean Weiland right on Google. You'll pop right up. You're the guy. Of course, you'll pop right up. All right, rock on, rock on. Okay, so very last words of advice for our listeners out there. What is the one thing that they absolutely need to know before they sign off for today?
Oh, I see. I'm worried we covered it already.
Cover it again. If it's that important, do it again.
The most important thing is just be wary about what you don't know. Or that you think you know that isn't true. That's the real gotcha, is check to make sure the things that you think are true are actually true. From that, you will have a lot more success.
Love it. Okay, and side question popped into my mind when you phrased it this way. How many people, the experts, do you check with on a subject before you, Sean, feel like something, okay, I can believe this is true?
I mean, it depends on what it is, but maybe like three or four to begin with.
Okay. So this can only speak to guys, you guys are business owners, self-employed, build your network. Like Sean said, talk to everyone. Because if you only have one person to speak with and they give you the one answer that you already have, maybe, maybe not. Maybe this is good. Maybe it's not. Okay. Okay. Dig it. You know, Fireside Chat listeners, if you enjoyed today's chat as much as I did, please show Sean your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who appreciates, who is another business owner, passionate entrepreneur, self-employed, fantastic person out there. Sean, you know, it has been such a pleasure to have you with us here today. Thank you. And thanks again, listeners. Thanks for listening to our Fireside Chat with Tax Goddess Live. We're going to be back again next month, guys. It'll be the last Tuesday in July, and I do not have my calendar up, so we'll put that in the show notes too. But don't fret. Until then, you can always find us on podcast sites like iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play. And while you're there, please show us some love, share, take a minute to rate and review the show. We always want to spread the word of all of this knowledge with listeners across the U.S., across the globe. So let us know what you think about the show. We always want to bring you awesome topics, educate, entertain, inspire. And if you have any questions, reach out to us on my Twitter account at TaxGoddess, or of course you can reach our production experts at TaxGoddessLive@TaxGoddess.com. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.